verse for the sermon this morning comes from Matthew 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Your daughter was healed from that very hour. Beloved in the Lord, I wonder how many people that is here this morning have ever read this passage or even heard it before. And I'm sure you all must have wondered while listening to this passage, can it really be Jesus that is so rude to this woman? But if we look at this passage through the eyes of the Mediterranean world, of someone who lived in that world, this passage makes perfect sense. Yes, if we see it in this context, then every word makes sense. And yet, the sharpness of the word is not so sharp anymore. So let us all place ourselves this morning in the Mediterranean context in which Jesus lived. Matthew wrote his gospel originally to Jews who converted to Christianity. It's therefore no wonder that he takes his audience into consideration in everything he writes. You can go through the gospel of Matthew and you can see the many quotations from the Old Testament because the Jewish men knew the Old Testament by heart. He's also very sensitive to use the word God, because the first commandment said, you are not allowed to speak the name of God in vain. And therefore he prefers to speak of the kingdom of heaven. And also in the beginning of his gospel, he makes a comparison between Moses and Jesus. And there's also other Jewish sentiments. In the first part of Matthew, it's evident that also Jesus, just like Moses, has to flee for his life because of a cruel king that wants to kill him. And also, like Moses went up the mountain to give the people the commandments of God, Jesus in the same way goes up the mountain and teaches his followers what discipleship really means. And this passage also reflects a typical Jewish method of conversion into the Jewish religion. In the biblical times, everyone that lived in Judea or Israel were Jews, and they practiced all the same values, they spoke the same language. And a Jew was only allowed to marry another Jew. But we know in the Old Testament there were exceptions, like Leah and Ruth were both heathen women. So then the Jews had to allow women to become Jews, but it would only happen after they completed a certain Jewish conversion ritual. And of course, heathen men were never allowed to become Jewish. So what did this procedure demand? When a heathen woman wanted to convert to Judaism, she had to convince the religious leaders of her true intentions. She had to go to the priest three times, and three times he had to be so rude to this woman to convince her not to go through with this procedure. If she could sustain the pressure and maintain to go for the third time, then she was allowed to become a Jew. And all of Matthew's listeners knew this procedure so well. And now Matthew tells us, Jesus was in Tyre and Sidon, which was, of course, a heathen territory. No Jew in those days with the right mind would venture off to such a country, because the chances would to be too glad to touch someone by accident. And if you touch anything, you were excluded from all the religious activities, or even go to the temple, because then you were unclean. The Jews even called the heathens dogs. And Tyre and Sidon were Canaanite cities. And we know the Canaanites and the Israelites were enemies. Now Matthew tells us, this enemy, a Canaanite woman, comes to Jesus and she begs Jesus to heal her sick daughter. It was not permitted in those days for a woman, a female, speak or address in public a man or a man. In those days, this woman was considered bad, shameful, and a heathen. But her need was bigger than her status. She did not worry to be ashamed in public. And of course, Jesus, on the other hand, also acts correctly by ignoring and shaming her according to the rules of the Jewish conversion rituals. Then she comes for a second time to Jesus. And again, he's quite rude to her. He calls her a dog. But again, Jesus acts according to the rules of this conversion process in a correct manner. Heathens were called dogs, and the Jews did think the Messiah only come from them. They, the Israelites, are the true people of God. But this woman did not give up. For the third time, she comes to Jesus and she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. And then there's a surprising turn in the story. Jesus reacts by saying, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. He does not say to her, congratulations, you've been true to the laws of the Jewish conversion rituals. He did not say to her, your daughter is healed because she obeyed the law. No, her daughter was healed because she believed in Jesus as the only and true Savior. What does Matthew say to his readers? He says to them, it's good to be faithful to the law and the traditions, but this will not help you to enter the kingdom of God. If they do not believe in Jesus as their true and only Savior, then they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All these visible traditions have no eternal value. He also criticizes the Jews who believe that they will be saved for obeying the laws. Faith is all that they need. Faith in Him, Jesus, as their only Savior and Redeemer. And I think it must be a shock to them to think that the heathen woman in the story, a shameful person, had more faith than they had. Can this story mean anything to us? Despite the fact that we are not Jews, and we all believe that Jesus Christ came to save us all from sin, death, and hell, I think this story can still mean a lot to us. We too can be very demanding when it comes to membership of a church or of our Christian fellowship. We sometimes can ignore people that are different from us, even in our fellowship. We can so easily neglect people that live beside us, people that may need a helping hand. But because they are different, because they act differently, because I heard the rumor, we tend to shy away from them, we can so easily condemn each other. We can so easily say rude things to our fellow brothers and sisters in faith. We can so easily exclude people by the way we say things, by the way we act, by our everyday living. We can so easily look down at people just because they act, they pray different than I do. We can so easily fall in the trap not to live out of faith practically in the world of every day. Yes, we are all guilty of neglecting people in the ordinary things we do and say. Is this what Jesus told us to do? Or did we invent all the rules for excluding certain people? We all know what Jesus told us. He said, love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Is this neighborly love? Is this neighborly love when we hurt other people, when we gossip or look down at them and are mean to them? Is this neighborly love when we as Christians tremble on other people? The worst is, we are all sinful. We are all shameful in the eyes of God. We all have skeletons in our closets that we struggle to keep away from the eyes of others. We are all people that is shameful in the eyes of God. What is the conclusion then? We too are not saved in Jesus Christ by God because of our need, our effort, or our gifts. We are not saved because of who we are, what we earn, what we dress, whether we are clever or not, or how many laws we obey. We are saved because God felt sorry for us and gave us a second chance. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, by God's mercy and God's love. We are saved because we believe that Jesus Christ is our only Savior, our only Lord, and our only Redeemer. So let us forget a bit about the lives of other people, and let us focus on our own life of faith. Let us all start living out our faith like this Canaanite woman, relentless and without any fear. And let us all pray for a faith that can carry us through any crisis or tribulation, because it's only faith that rescues and helps her daughter. It's also through faith alone that God saved us from the burden of sin, death, and hell. We must all just believe in God and thank Him for this deliverance. If we really believe in Jesus Christ, we will live like new people that knows how it feels to be touched by the mercy and the love of God. So let us all go out today and touch other people's lives with the touch of love, forgiveness, and mercy that we receive from God in Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. Let the words of Jesus sound in our